What's happening, everybody? You're now tuning in to the Producer's Corner with Spud Too Tight. Man, I got another hot show for you today. On the phone with me, man, I have a production trio who's already produced hit records for Mary J. Blige, Rick Ross, Young Jeezy, Young Buck, and Tony Braxton. Please put your hands together and welcome Grammy-winning production trio, The Justice League. What's happening, you guys?
What's going on? What's up?
Hey, man. Hey, pleasure having you guys on my show, man. It's truly an honor, man, you know, with the artists that you've done and the work that you do, man. Again, as producer to producer, man, a keyboard player, man, I take my hat off to you guys, man. I really appreciate the work that you guys have been doing these last couple of years, man.
Yeah, we appreciate you, man.
That's greatly appreciated, man. Thank you.
You know, what I find interesting about the Justice League is that it's a trio. You know, I see the duos, man. There's, you know, 10,000 duo production duos out there. I'm sure there are other trios out there, but notably with credits that's really in the scene right now making noise, man. You know, as a production trio, man, how did that whole team come together?
Well, it came together, I mean, pretty good, actually. So we was all in Tampa, and at the time, back in like 03, 04, you know, myself, Rook, and Cole Young, you know, we did two kind of totally different styles of music. You know, I was more sample based, and he was more keyboard based. You know what I mean? And you know, with saying that, and Kenny came in the picture, and he just kind of, you know, blended our styles together, and now we just learned, you know, from each other through the years that, you know, we can each do whatever we need to do, any genre and whatnot, you know.
Right. Well, each of you that's on the phone, man, give me your influences, background, musically, you know, your craft that you play, your instrument that you play, and who were those influences? You know, introduce your name so we can know who we're talking to.
All right. Well, I mean, this road, I mean, as far as, you know, like I was saying earlier, you know, I mean, we had a different style early on in Justice League. You know, Kenny is just the insanely talented, you know, musician, producer, and you know, he's formally trained in instruments. And myself and Coleon are just, you know, by the ear, you know, play by ear, you know, musicians and producers, you know what I mean? So, you know, like Kenny, you know, he can expound on his specialties when it comes to the instruments and whatnot.
Well, I mean, we all play, and we all play different instruments, and, you know, throughout the years, we definitely learn different things from each other as far as, you know, what our you know, each of our special skills are. But, you know, like, you know, my main instrument, man, I've been playing for quite a while, is the sax. And I also play keys. I grew up in church playing keys. And just, you know, when you're in church, you know, especially church like I grew up in, you know, it was, you know, you can kind of, it's kind of easy to get your hand on all the instruments and you know, and play, you know, and learn what you got to learn to be a better musician. But, I mean, as far as, like, influences go, musician-wise, man, you know, growing up, my dad was a fan of fusion, like jazz fusion music, and he'd be playing a lot of Al Di Meola and Chick Corea and stuff like
George Duke, Harry Hancock. Oh yeah, George,
right, exactly, all that stuff. So, you know, I was fascinated by those dudes, you know, just ability to take these chords that sound, you know, off, you know what I mean, and make them sound good. And just their ability to improvise the way they do, you know. So that kind of, like, had a great effect on developing my style as a musician, you know. As far as saxophonists go, you know, definitely, you know, John Coltrane and Ed Kaye and, you know, Charlie Parker, you know, the greats, of course. But, you know, that's you know, that's my influence. That's, you know, my personal influence. I know, you know, guys got their you know, their influences as well, too, when they were growing up. What's some of yours, Rook?
Well, Me personally, you know, like you were saying earlier, you know, with your dad, you know, my father's a musician as well. His name's Gumby Ortiz, and he plays with Al DiMeola. But, you know, when I was younger, I wasn't really into that. I was more into the hip-hop. I was more into, you know, just the, you know, whatever was hot in the street. And so, but I would notice that they would take, you know, jazz samples and funk samples, soul samples, you know, and once I figured out exactly that that actually was the music that my dad was playing and was listening to, I would ask him more questions. I would, you know, dig into his brain when it came to, you know, that type of music, and, you know, so you know, basically my influence is my pops and of course, you know, hip hop in general. So.
Yeah, I hear you there, man.
You know what?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, good. You know what's funny though? Like, yeah, I met Rook a while, you know, a while before I knew, you know, who his dad was and, you know, what projects he had worked on. But, you know, quite a while after I had met Rook, I learned that his pops was playing on some of the recordings that you know, I grew up listening to and my dad was into. So I kind of, you know, we kind of hit it off from there on that level that, you know, like, oh, really? Yo, remember that Al DiMeola song? Like, yo, that was your pops on that? You know what I mean? It was, like, crazy. It was really crazy.
No, I agree, man. You know, I'm a live player myself, man. I have a church background. I've been playing church and music direct from my church for about 20 years, lead keyboardist. And, you know, coming from the hip-hop side and the R&B side and having that gospel side, man, it's just, it's real cool to me because I feel that over the time, man, I was able to develop my ear for really, you know, focusing on what's going on in a song and composition and bringing those elements into my hip-hop projects and vice versa. You know, I just felt that every seasoned musician, you know, should be well-versed and, you know, listen to music outside the genre. It's because, you know, a lot of times I hear guys say, man, I got writer's block, you know, so I was like, okay, man, you know, what style of music are you listening to? Well, I only listen to hip-hop, only one artist. I'm like, well, man, you really just limit yourself right there, you know, just kind of, you know, get outside the box of, you know, just focusing on one music. And, like, you guys have such a diverse background, man. You got your Dirty South background in the Justice League. You definitely got the East Coast influences, and plus with your live musicianship, I mean, that's what really makes your sound more universal, in my opinion. So, hats off to you guys on that, man.
Right, I appreciate it. Thank you, man.
Now, man, I've been recording for a while, man. I come from an analog background, and, you know, I've converted into the DAW world of recording. Give me a little background of, you know, when you guys started, what formats of recording you guys are tracking on, and, you know, where you're at now.
Well, that, you know, and that varies from, you know, each of us as well. Because me personally, Rook, you know, I started out recording, you know, with, you know, ADATs and Tascam tapes, and, you know, it was mostly analog, but with a little bit of digital, you know, in the mid, you know, in the late 90s or whatnot.
Right.
Which is like Pro Tools was just starting to get out there, starting to get hot and whatnot. Before it was, you know, now it's more affordable. Before it was like you had to be rich to get.
Oh yeah.
It.
Yeah.
You know, studios were charging, you know, a crazy amount just because they had Pro Tools. So we would go to the studios that didn't have Pro Tools and they had, you know, the analog gear and whatnot. So, you know, we you know, I'd record on ADATs and Tascam. I forgot the name of the exact tapes they were. But, you know, we are, you know, mostly digital. You know, we have a few analog outboard, you know, pieces that we use. But, you know, we make all our beats digital and of course, you know, live instruments as well, you know.
So, right, definitely.
I know Kenny might have a different experience, you know, as far as recording as well.
Yeah, you know, I'm the young one out of the crew. So, you know, when I, you know, around the time I started making beats, you know, 15, 16,
you know, everything was pretty much almost switched over completely to digital. So, you know, by the time I had started making tracks of my own, it was like, you know, I had a little setup, man. I think my first setup was a Alesis MMT-8 track MIDI recorder.
Okay, yeah.
With a Casio or something, and then I borrow my, you know, some friends' keyboards once in a while, and you know, but mostly, you know, that all that stuff was dubbed down into like Acid Pro, and you know, so everything was like computerized by that time, you know, so. I had little experience with you know, ADATs and pretty much done with reel to reel stuff, you know what I mean? Or even, you know, analog consoles or anything, you know. I'd seen some in action, but you know, all that stuff was, you know, everyone was going digital definitely by the time, you know, I got it.
Right. Right. No, I hear you there, man. You know, I like to ask different backgrounds, man, because I feel that, you know, guys who had the analog background of recording and tracking, in my opinion, and just the way I work, man, we kind of, you know, it gives you the edge a little bit because, you know, it's still the same principles, but, you know, now with the combination of using these outboard gears, great mic pre's that you can run right into your converters and get the recording, you're kind of getting, you know, the best of both worlds, you know, so, yeah.
I agree, cause that's how we are. You know, we're the best of both worlds. We do analog and we do digital. You know, cause right now we purchased a few things when it comes to mixing. You know, some SSL converters and boards and whatnot. So when we mix, we actually mix on outboard. You know, and of course, you know, plugins as well. So it's a hybrid, but you know, we're mixing some on the outboard, SSL board. So, but you know, there's nothing wrong with doing it in the box. If you get the sound good in the box, you know, it's a hats off to you. You know what I mean?
Right. You know, I've been pretty impressed, man, with Waves' SSL 4000 series plugins. I mean, those are some pretty hot plugins. You guys are SSL users, man. I mean, that E channel on that, man, that thing is a beast.
Right, yeah, I agree. I love it. You know, I mean, we're using the 9000, you know, outboard, you know, but you know, we do have the 4000 plugins as well. So they're pretty nice, real old school sounding.
Right. You know, listening to you guys' track, man, give me a typical signal chain for your drums, your keys, and your vocals. I mean, what outboard gear do we have on those chains?
You know, that varies. I mean, I know Kenny can expound on that, but it varies though. You know, because we like to experiment. You know, we'll explain on that one, Kenny.
Well, let's talk about let's talk about the Mary J. Blige track you guys did. You know, that right there for the drums, that's what really stood out to me. And the track I'm talking about is No One Will Do. The drums on there, man, were just processing, you know, just sounded really thick and hard, man. Give me what you guys used on that track.
Man, that track is, you know, that track was a minute ago when we did that. I'm trying to think.
Yeah, with that track, it's so funny because it's kind of like our early stages, and we it sounded like we knew what we were doing, you know what I'm saying? But we just kind of did it, and it just sounds great, you know what I mean? Because it just, you know, just by using, you know.
Okay, well, bring me up to current. You know,
yeah, because, you know, the drums, I mean, there wasn't no formula, you know, there isn't no formula, it's just whatever worked, you know what I mean? Like when it came to, you know, we might, you know, have a kick drum and everything was done in Logic. Everything's still done in Logic when it comes to our music, you know what I mean? So, you know, back then it was mostly, you know, place kicks and place snares and place all the drums within the arrange the arrange and edit screen, you know, and then we added, what did we have, Kenny? We had the Roland.
The XT-50?
Yeah, the, no, the, the board that we used.
Oh, no. We had a Roland VS-880.
Okay.
Yeah, the VS-880 to go into Logic. And, you know, it was just, I don't know, the sounds weren't as clean as we get them now. You know, I mean, because there was bleed through everywhere, and personally, I mean, I know we're a lot better now, but the grittiness of that track and the raw emotion of it just makes it just so good. You know what I mean?
Right.
But like I said, we used that board to record all the instruments in, and you know. It's just a long time ago, man. It's hard to remember.
No, I hear you, man. But, you know, the good thing is, man, you're hands-on with your mix, man. You know, I can't stress enough to other producers that are coming up. It's like, yeah, it's one thing to be able to track, but I just feel that sonically, nobody's going to be able to bring that sound out of your head better than you can. So it's just kind of best to just sit behind the wheel and drive for a little bit, get your feet wet and, you know, turn some knobs and kind of build that ear up, you know, so you can really start hearing, you know.
Definitely. I mean, you know, we send our tracks out pretty much mixed. You know, some mixers, they know what to do with it. Some they do too much. You know, Dave Trinsato mixed the Mary record, and he did a great job. He's one of my personal favorites. If you got any mixed questions, you gotta ask him about that record, you know.
Right, no doubt. Now, let's talk about synths a little bit, your synthesizers, man. I know that you guys got a lot of synths, especially in your newer tracks that I've heard, man. What's your typical rig? Are you using hardware synths, or are you kind of crossing over to the virtual world synths now?
Well, for the most part, you know, we do use in-the-box synths. You know, a lot of stuff is coming through Logic. You know, very rarely will we use one of our, you know, outboard keyboards, or, you know, we may rent something at the studio. But man, there's just like so much out there, you know. You don't ever have to use the same sound in two beats, you know, ever. And you know, that's kind of like that's been one of our things, is just building an extensive library of in the box keyboards, you know, virtual synths and stuff like that. Now, like, you know what, like, some people are a fan of using outboard stuff because they like the sound, you know, that the outputs produce or whatever, maybe warmer or whatever, it's just not the same.
They like the color.
Whatever, but yeah. Right, they like that. But you know, we also have, you know, outboard gear that we run our tracks through, you know, to kind of give it a beefy sound. You know, we might run it through a transistor preamp to you know, just make it sound old, give a little ting to it, you know. But yeah, we got I don't even know how many synths we have, you know, in Logic. But
speaking of Logic, man, I'm an avid Logic Pro user, man, and I really can't stress the importance of this DAW system. You know, I came from a Pro Tools background. I ran Pro Tools for years, and I still run it on occasion from, you know, doing some conversions from another system into Pro Tools, and I ran Cubase. And to me, Logic is still by far the best sequencer for tracking and hosting your VSTs, and integration that they have within Logic is just phenomenal. I was talking to DJ Battlecat, man, and we were just talking about the features in the ESX24. I told him, I said, man, I took every single drum sample that I had, I've loaded it in ESX24, and I've already assigned each kick to its own channel, each snare to its own channel, each clap, each hi-hat, etc. Everything has its own virtual channel, man. And you know, just having that flexibility, I'm able to track and do some post mixing along the way, so it just makes my workflow a lot easier.
Yeah, the EXS is pretty cool little sampler, man. And there's a lot of things that you can do in that EXS, like you said. And you know, it's pretty easy to make drum kits, and it's pretty easy to even make your own sounds, you know. But yeah, I mean, I agree with you 100%.
You know, when you guys compose your tracks for your artists, is there a certain formula that you use for composition? What I do as a producer a lot of times, I felt that my edge is when you know, I can get you in the lab, and I have like a basic foundation track that you write to, and you know, I get 85-90% of the vocals laid. Once the artist leaves, man, I usually just strip the music down to most minimum as possible and really start building my chord progressions and the foundation of the song around the pre-existing vocals. Give me some of your formulas that you use for production, man.
Well, man, you know, it's kind of like a case by case scenario, you know, when it comes to that, because we've had tracks built, you know, starting off with me just on the keys and a writer, you know, just, you know, right next to me, just, you know, we're writing a song, you know, and putting it together, and then we all come together and build on top of that, and, you know, maybe replace some stuff that was already recorded just to make it right. Or, you know, we'll make a track, and a track, you know, sometimes will be completely done, you know, by the time the artist gets on it.
Right.
But, you know, there's that flexibility, and I think that's important, because not every artist that you work with is going to be, you know, the same. Some artists are just going to want to listen to, you know, a list of beats and whatever, and then, you know, next time you hear that beat with that artist, it's during the mix, you know what I mean? They don't even give you no chance to, you know, finish it or nothing. Or, you know, you're going to work with an artist that really is, you know, specific about, you know, getting it to the best of its potential. So, I'm gonna say, we do it all, really. Like, and you know, any process to make it work, man, it's definitely case by case. But we'll definitely conform to the situation.
Right. So, man, what do we have new for Justice League, man? I know you guys recently signed a new MC, man, Laws, man. I've checked out a lot of his stuff from the links that was sent over to me, man. He's up and coming, man. Tell me a little about that project, man. What you got? What else you guys got popping?
Well, Laws, you know, we just, you know, did our situation with Warner Asylum, and you know, his project and his mixtape is amazing, man. You know what I'm saying? We thought he was a talented, you know, person, talented rapper, MC, musician. So, you know, we went ahead and moved forward. And right now we're finishing up his second mixtape, which is hosted by Don Cannon. That should be out maybe February, I believe. And, you know, depending on how soon we get it mixed. But, you know, like I said, we're working on his album, working on his mixtape. And so right now, as far as other artists that we're working with, you know, we just did the Mary J. Blige song, the album just dropped. And we did a song in there called Brand New, which is, you know, you can download via iTunes and whatnot right now. You know, we're currently working with Rick Ross and Young Jeezy, of course. Lil Wayne on his Rebirth album. Drake, of course. So many people I can't remember. This is the part of the interview that always stumps me, because I can never remember who we're working on.
Oh, no, that's cool, man.
Yeah, no, but I think Kenny might remember some more.
I mean, you basically said it, man. You know, you can't. I can never remember everyone, but, you know, name a good list, though. But, you know, anyone and everyone that's looking for tracks, you know, got them. No, we're currently sending out for T.I., for, you know, just for the whole spectrum of the music industry, man. You got to be rap, and you got to be R&B, you got to be, you know what I mean? Just everyone. We're working with everyone, man.
Definitely. Well, Justice League, man, it's been a pleasure speaking with you brothers, man. I do appreciate you guys coming by. Don't be a stranger, man. You always got a spot here at the Producers Corner, man. Come back anytime about your new endeavors.
Please,
all right, you guys,
cool,
take it easy.
Thanks a lot, bro.
Oh, no problem, man. Thanks for stopping by, man.
All right.
Peace. And shout out to the Justice League for coming on the show and chopping it up with me, man, sharing their expertise and knowledge with the Producer's Corner. You know, here's a production trio, man, who's really focused in on all of their strengths as musicians, and they all came together and built their sound as a team, you know, which is really nice, man, and because they have so many different diverse backgrounds for listening and their musicianship, man. They have their jazz background, they got their hip-hop background, ranging from East Coast to Dirty South, man, to their own flavor of hip-hop, and blending those styles together, man, really gives them their edge as producers, man. So again, man, shouts out to the Justice League, man. They got many more hits coming our way, man, so be on the lookout for that. And for those of you that want more information on the Justice League, man, they have a website on their MySpace page, and that's www.myspace.com/officialjustice. And they also have their own personal website at www.justiceleaguemusic.com. And also, I have my own website. If you want to listen to some of my old interviews that I've done, also my current interviews, those interviews can be listened at www.spud2tightmusic.ning.com. And I'm also available on iTunes under the podcast for music. And if you type in the Producer's Corner with Spud Too Tight on the iTunes store, my image will populate. Click on the image and you have a list of all of my interviews I've done as well. But before I go, man, I'm going to let one of the Justice League's tracks play out for the remainder of the show. They sent it to me, man. I just thought it was a really hot track, so I'm sure you guys will dig it also. So the track is going to play out for the remainder of the show. So until next time, you guys keep it tight. Peace.
Now, baby, lately we work all day, we work all night, we get no play, we don't spend time, all we do now is dine and then pass each other by, and I can't feel this way, and then maybe the first to pull back and reverse the way that it's been, put it all to an end, let me rub on your back, tell me do you like that, let's experience something different, boy.
And whatever you need me to do for you, baby, whatever it is, I'll be.
Show you how much
your love means to me. Wanna give you a treat.
Ain't nothing stopping us until the sun comes up.
And baby,
won't you let me cater to you?
And baby,
later we can rendezvous.
And baby,
I don't wanna let you go.
So